Welcome to the Embodied Liberation Lounge. Lola Darling here, your guide through the intimate journey of self-liberation and embodied reclamation. Pour your favorite elixir, take a deep, cleansing, grounding breath, and join me as we dive into the raw, unfiltered, provocative essence of being fully alive and embodied in your authentic truth and power. This is where we celebrate the untamed, where your spirit roars, it's time to break free. I'm Lola Darling. You're in the Embodied Liberation Lounge, and this is your invitation to revel in the provocative dance of becoming fully alive to the truth of who you are. Let's get to it, shall we? Welcome back into the Embodied Liberation Lounge, loves. Today, I have a very, very, very exciting episode for you because today I'm going to be bringing on my first guest onto the podcast. The first time that I've ever had a guest on any of my podcasts. And for me, this was a very empowering conversation and step forward through my fears or discomfort, really, because it's so foreign to bring another powerful, potent woman and soul onto the show to have conversations with me and so that you guys can hear our conversation. And I just found that I loved it so, so, so much that I'm going to be bringing more people on for you all to learn and be entertained by and gain wisdom through the depth of conversations, because it's actually deep conversation that I find to be the most powerful and the most magnetic. And so on today's show, my first guest on the Embodied Liberation Lounge is a woman that I met in a business retreat, and her name is Tanya Jane, and we had the most potent and powerful conversation about mindset and how it can make or break our big dreams, how we can use our mindset and shifting our mindset to really change our lives. And Tanya tells us about how she did just that for herself, and now she's helping clients around the world do that for them. And I just find her such an inspiration. And she gives us 4 tips and tricks that she uses for shifting her mindset. We dive into her story and all the ways that the mind is so potent and powerful and is creating our reality in every moment, and therefore really being intentional about our thoughts and our mindset and where our mind is taking us and leading us is life-changing. And I find Tanya such an inspiration for my own life and my own big dreams, and really, really learning a lot from her, from watching her and from this conversation on where my own mind trips me up and takes me out of alignment. And this was such a potent and inspiring conversation that has really brought me into the intentionality and creation of using my mind to create my own reality. And now you can too. So I hope you really enjoy this episode. Let's get to it. Let's vibe with Tanya Jane. Here we go. Yay. So welcome to the Embodied Liberation Lounge. We have Tanya Jane. She's a badass mindset coach that I met at a business retreat over the summer, and I'm super excited to have her on the show today to talk about all things mindset and how she went from a dancer to bringing herself as the big dreamer that she is to the mindset coaching world and all things big dreams and mastering your goals. So welcome to the show, Tanya. So glad to have you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here, and I love the name. Put me on the lounge. Yes. Into it.
Welcome to the lounge.
Such a vibe.
Yeah, so go ahead and is there anything you wanted to add to my listeners and let them know a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so I originally grew up in Sydney, Australia, and I grew up training in dance. I started dancing when I was really, really young, five years old, started dancing. And I was really young when I started to actually even take it seriously and started to compete. And it pretty quickly just became like my existence, my identity. It was who I was. I've always been Tanya the dancer. Like it just was very much like ingrained in my identity. And I was good at it. Like I was working a lot as a kid in Australia, and my dream was always to come to LA. It was like such a non-negotiable for me. And now that I do mindset and dive into the world of manifestation, it's so fascinating to look back on that younger version of me who was like 13 being like, I'm manifesting this. And the principles that I teach now and the principles that I understand now, we do them naturally, you know, like as a kid, I was doing it. And so I was dreaming of LA, going to school, being like, boring. I just want to go to LA. I want to dance with the biggest artist in the world. Like I was just like so up in the clouds, which is like the best thing ever. And I ended up making that dream come true when I was 19. So I was pretty young and I moved to LA by myself, just me, my suitcase and my big dreams. And I created my life here. And for the over a decade, nearly 12 years now, I've been living that dream. I got to really live that dream. I got to do everything I wanted, and it was magical and amazing. And the turning point for me really came when I started to realize, it was a few years ago. It was in 2021. I turned 29. And you know, like right before you turn 30, you just question some things. You're like, okay, where am I at? How am I doing here? Like, what's the vibe? And as much as on the dreamer end and goals end, I was slaying it. My goals were great. They were coming true. Dreams were coming true. But my quality of life and the belief of what I thought I had to sacrifice in order to have success was just not it anymore. And to a degree, I think like being younger, being early 20s, like you don't care so much about your quality of life. Like maybe you're fine to like room with a bunch of roomies and not really spoil yourself, like no spa days. But as you start getting older, you start to be like, that's not it anymore. I want more self-love. I want more self-care. I want to feel good in my body and not just when a dream's coming true, you know? So this led me to really start diving into mindset, because I just was like, the story and the beliefs that I have right now, I know aren't serving me, but I don't know how to change them. So that's when I started investing in myself. And once I did that, and I'm sure you know, it's like it unveils a life that you just can't unsee. And then you're just like, well, I can't go back now. Like I know too much. Like it's too good on this side of things. And that's when my life really started to, my quality of life started to drastically improve. The goals and dreams were always coming in, but then I started to make way more money, keep way more money. My quality of life enhanced. I was going on vacations. I got a Mercedes. Like I was like,
yeah,
elevating my life. And once I did, Lola, I was just like, the mindset beliefs that I implemented into my own life that created those results, I was like, I'm shouting them from the rooftops. Like I need to tell everyone. Everyone needs to know. Like you can change your life through your thoughts. And that's how I shifted from dancing into mindset coaching.
Tanya, I find this so inspiring, because I find in my personal journey that as an embodiment coach, you know, I'm much more into like changing your embodiment, and like that will shift. But I've been noticing, and because I've been listening to you a lot as well and finding your story and just your work so inspiring and empowering, and obviously we know, like, as just spiritual beings, that our thoughts are definitely very powerful, but I've never put in a lot of like stock into the mindset side of things. And then hearing your story and hearing you speak about your story, like, it just makes me want that much more of it. But I'm really curious, because on your, like, for sure you had a good mindset before you started, because your mindset of like having this dream of going to LA and like making your dreams come true since you were 13 and then making it happen by the time you were 19, right? That requires like a certain level of mindset that you already have, this certain level of like knowing and belief in yourself that you've already got. And then, so tell me sort of how you feel your mindset has transformed or obviously evolved, right? Because you had a certain level of a good mindset and belief in yourself when you started, but then you were sort of maybe you flatlined or something where you were like accepting a lower quality of life. Didn't that make sense?
No, that was actually a really good question.
Okay.
And I know the answer, but I've never thought about it like that. Yes, my belief in myself was always very high, and I've always been someone very aggressive when it comes to goals, like growing up and like being a competitive dancer, like going to competitions and wanting to win and wanting front and center and like training really hard. Like I definitely have a bit more of a masculine energy when it comes to like push, like go, strengthen, get better, grow. Like, so that was always quite natural to me. But where to answer your question, so the belief in myself and what I'm physically capable of and what I know I'm like my talents, my skills, my ability, that the physical aspect was like, I got that. I know I'm good at that because I train really hard at it. I do the things. I was doing that. But where the disconnect was in the stories that I also kind of got told growing up was dancers don't make money. If you're going to pursue the dance industry, you won't be like dancers don't make money. So already you've got to be in it for the love, not for the money. And if you're in it for the money, choose another industry. It was like drilled into my brain. Then when I started to even start talking about LA, so the crazy part is for foreigners, I'm like a foreigner now. Well, not anymore. I'm married to an American, got a green card. So I'm like slowly getting into there. But before when, you know, like I was a foreigner to this country, I had to get a visa to actually live here and work here. And on that dance visa that I was given by the United States, the rule is you can only do what you're here to do. Like I couldn't get a normal job. I couldn't like bartend. I couldn't do anything. So I was only restricted to dance only, which already is hard enough. Like that, it's an industry that is up and down anyway. So then being a kid and learning to be an adult in this other country with all the things in my mind of like, you can't make money. Dancers don't make money. Then also knowing this, I was told as well by like, you know, people trying to protect me of like, you have to struggle. You're going to have to hustle. Struggle, hustle, sacrifice, make it work, do it for the dream. And that's just what I did. And so it like, these were the stories that I believed. And that's why I like see it so clearly of like the dream was always going to happen because I had so much belief in that. But I also had an equal amount of belief that my quality of life had to suck. And it did. Like I struggled financially.
Totally. And when everybody is telling you that, it's hard to convince yourself to believe anything else. And then when you can't do anything else for money, like you're saying, like that is wild. You're almost trapped. And so you had this pivotal moment, you said, in 2021, where you just sort of like grabbed life by the boots and were like, yeah, nope, this is not our story anymore, and did the things.
Yeah. And so I also inspiring. Just want to add to like, I know a lot of dancers who make a lot of money. Like that story is such BS. And even though like the dance industry is very like up and down, it's very job to job. Like technically the industry is naturally paycheck to paycheck because of just the nature of it. But you like the paychecks are big when you're on a big job, like you do get big paychecks. And it is so, if I was to go back and tell my 19-year-old self something different, it would be like, you can make a killing in LA as a dancer. Sure. There may be phases and seasons where it's a little like whatever, but it's not true at all that I need to struggle, sacrifice, or hustle, or like kill my quality of life to have a dream. That's not correct.
Sure. That just goes more into a money conversation, right? Of like, how you're managing the money you're coming in, because it's not like consistently stable.
Yeah.
So how do you feel now that you've really like mastered your mindset and taken hold of your life and really like changed your life and are doing what you're doing now and you're so passionate about it? Like, how do you feel that changing your mindset and jumping into this world like shifted or helped you in your embodiment of what you believe, of your big dreams, of a greater mission in life?
So diving into the mindset aspect of it, oh, so many things. I think
Give
the biggest thing for me, the biggest thing for me was really because of that story, because that is my journey and my experience, was realizing I can feel good in my life while I bring a dream to life. And that was just so foreign to me. So I think the biggest like aha moment, the biggest breakthrough for myself personally is implementing ways that I put myself first and prioritize myself first and really shifting that narrative for me personally of what my life looks like while I am running my business. And now, especially with the business, because I am the boss of the business and I get to call the shots, I design my business to suit my lifestyle. I don't fit my life into my business. And that's like also a huge part of my message too, about whatever dream you're going towards, it gets to be to support your quality of life, to enhance your quality of life, to add value to your life, instead of you must squish yourself to fit into a society restriction around what your industry is or what it's telling you to do. You get to create your career or your industry or view your industry in a way that can actually support and add value and fuel your quality of life. So I'm not exactly sure if that answered your question, but that was like my biggest aha moment.
Yeah. Well, and it also like ties in and brings in that, like, of course, this is your biggest aha moment, right? Because you had all of these outsiders telling you what to believe about your industry and your story with dancing. And then it's like, nope, squashing that, and how it can translate to every other industry and business and way of living, because the stories that we allow other people to tell us really affect everything about the way that we're living and the way that we're carrying out our life. Do you feel like when you shifted your mindset and really started believing in like going into business and deciding to be a coach and go in that trajectory with your life, how did your health and your body change when you changed your mind? Did it change?
In what way are you referring to? Like in like how I feel in my body?
How you feel in your body, like your level of connection to your body, even like your health or your gut health or your mental health.
I think for the longest time, because of, you know, I don't want to say the way I was programmed, but also kind of with the industry I was in and being a dancer, I was kind of numbing my connection to my body a lot because my body was also like the job. So if the job needed me to like do a back bend and fall onto the floor and smash my knees and whip my head around 80 times, then I would just do it with a smile, like no problem. I don't have a body. It's totally fine. Like, but, you know, now I'm kind of paying for it with my injuries and stuff. But I think this was like a huge initiation for me to actually be like, connect to myself and be like, I can actually allow myself to feel emotions and let myself feel into my body in a whole different way and actually explore and experiment the way my body feels when it's not so refined to having to be very like when I'm not being told what to do with my body. Now my body is mine and I get to use my energy in my body to fuel my business. And that for me has been so eye-opening because, as you know, like our body has so much wisdom. It has so much information and there's so many cues now that I take from, like, let's say I'm having a really busy day or I'm really overwhelmed. Like I will make it a point to like, I'm not going to do anything until I stop and like breathe because my energy is whack right now. Like whatever I do in this energy is not going to be the vibe anyway. And I never could connect that because I was so numbed out to my body of just like, go, go, go. Which also is that like survival mode energy, you know, like survival mode when you just like got to do what you got to do. But the more I connect to myself in that way, the more I can feel the guidance, the more I can feel the nudges, the more I trust the guidance. And that really wasn't the way I moved before. So that has been a really new experience for me that has been mind-blowing too.
So beautiful. It's almost like going into this world of like when you shifted your mind and went into the mindset world, it opened the door back into your body.
Totally.
You're like, oh, there you are. Hey, welcome back. Totally. Welcome back to me, right? Oh, I love this. Oh, this is so fun. So, kind of switching gears a little bit, I'm really like one of the questions I have for you on mindset is like, how long? It's kind of a two-part question, so bear with me, but there's on the one hand, it feels like when you're going to change your mind, there's this level of like control almost that you have to have, or like acute awareness and presence of like what you're thinking, right? And then being able to like shift that thought if like the old thought pattern comes up. So there's that side of it of like the control and how like that can sometimes make us like feel like we're not living in our truth or not being authentic. And the second part of that is like once you go on that trajectory of you're like changing it and changing it, how long does it take for the new mindset to really like set in and take root and like you start seeing shifts from it? I think that like the audience would love to know, right? It's like, and for sure there's no like set formula of like, oh, you do this for 3 weeks and for sure everything's going to change about your life. But like in your experience, what do you think is like an average sort of practice to keep in mind when you're working on installing a new mindset?
I love this so much, such my jam. So I have been preaching this statement that I've been saying nonstop lately, which is I'm like on this mission to normalize the big dreamer's lifestyle, because everything you're explaining is such a normal part of the process of creating a new reality, upgrading your reality, taking your life to the next level, doing something you've never done before, bringing your dream to life. Like all of this lives under the same umbrella, and to actually succeed at that and to actually take your life to the next level is going to require you to stretch, be uncomfortable, have the awareness around your old beliefs, your old thoughts, shift them, and do all this mindset work and energetic work. But where I think a lot of people, well, not I think, where I know a lot of people get like stuck or feel weird or feel like it's hard or not sure what's going on is when they realize like they're scared and it's the unknown. And then what, like, are they even on the right track? Am I even doing this right? And they haven't seen results yet. So how long do I do this for before I see a result? And this is a very normal part of the process. And I've been also preaching this book title. I haven't actually even read the book, but the title is so genius. And I keep talking about it because it said the common path to the uncommon success. And this, what you're talking about, like letting there be time that you feel uncomfortable, where you're actively rewriting your story, actively changing your beliefs, and it feels weird, and you're like kind of taking one step forward, three steps back, five steps forward, two steps back, and you're like in this real-time energetic shift of identity. It feels funky AF. Like it just feels funky, but it is the common path to creating uncommon success. So the first aspect of this answer is there is an uncomfort that we all have to move through when we start to take our life from one phase to the next or one level to the next. And that isn't necessarily easy to do, but it is very normal. Like the fears, the doubts, the limiting beliefs, all of this stuff that you're going to feel, that you're going to come up against, isn't a sign to stop. It is a sign that you're actually right on track. So the more you can lean in instead of lean out, the better. And the awareness, so to actually answer your question, the awareness around that concept of what is actually going on right now is how I feel. Is why I feel like I can navigate this time, that uncomfort, quicker than maybe the average person or and my clients, because I don't make it mean anything bad. I know what's going on. I know that I'm very clear that I'm taking my life to the next level. The desire is strong to do that. The vision is strong to do that. I'm also the first thing I do whenever I'm manifesting something new is make sure I have like an emotional connection to what it would feel like there, because that to me is my like goal. That's the goalpost. Like that's the North Star. It's like guiding me there. So when that's locked in, when I'm like, oh, I already know what it's going to feel like to have it, I hold that for dear life, because when you're about to weather the storm of like the unraveling of who you've been, the old beliefs. But if you can get through that, which is my whole thing of normalizing it. It's normal. It's okay. What you're feeling is totally fine. It makes total sense. it won't be long until you get to the other side. And the energy that you feel when you're in kind of that shift, if you can feel calm by being like, I know what's going on. I'm taking my life to a phase, to a level it's never been before. I'm in real time creating a new reality. Of course, I don't know what I'm doing. Then it takes the pressure off being like, why don't I know what I'm doing? It's like, I'm learning. I'm literally growing. I'm figuring it out. It's working. It's actually working right now. So it's a perspective shift. So that is the way that I move. That's what I preach. And it's also what I practice too.
And it's so powerful. Do you think that this point where somebody's been practicing, because I feel like you could practice a new mindset for like, you know, 3 days to a week before you really are hitting this like, okay, this shit's starting to get uncomfortable. Things are really starting to unravel. Do you feel like that's where most people get tripped up and they stop because they let their fear and the doubt of like, either this isn't working or like, oh, this is uncomfortable as fuck. Like, why am I doing this? Like, it's way more comfortable to like be who I was, right? Do you think this is where most people stop? And that's why the majority of the world is still like just stuck in maybe their like baseline of comfortability.
Yep, I do.
Yeah.
Yep, I do. Because you gotta want it. Like, you really do. And I kind of made this post and a little joke around New Year's Eve, around New Year's, of like New Year's resolutions. And I was like, the reason why New Year's resolutions don't stick, but the energy around New Year's resolutions, you can feel that. And I'm sure like you've seen this too, when like you sign up to a program, there's this energy of like, I'm new. This is like the declaration, a new season. Or when you sign up with a mentor or you move cities or get a new job, like there's a fresh energy. So we feel that energy of like a New Year's resolution quite often, but why they don't stick is because unless you're doing the identity work to actually become that next level version of you who can hold that level of life, meaning the mindset, show up for yourself at that level, create at that level, think at that level, unless you're actively like doing the mindset work to be that version of you, it won't be long until you're back to who you've always been. And you got to want that. Like, you got to want it so bad. And because it does get uncomfortable, and it's easy to just be like, life was okay before, whatever. Like, it's fine. And
doing fine. We'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. And I made the joke of like around New Year's resolutions, like slapping on some gym clothes isn't enough, because under the gym clothes, you're still thinking the same. You're acting the same. Your daily routines are the same. That's what needs to change. Then add all the gym clothes you want. Like, add all the cute exterior, external stuff that you want. But the inside has to change to actually create the external change. And the longer you can commit to that, the quicker you're going to see results.
Mm. Amen. I would agree. Taking it back to like grassroots basics of a mindset, what would be the components? Like, so say you find a limiting belief or something that you know is holding you back, and you're like, oh, okay, like this is the mindset work I need to do. I like need to change my mind about this one thing. What components does one need to look at to install, basically, if they're like, okay, this is my old belief, and now I know I need to walk the trajectory of like create of a new mindset. So I'm going to like walk this path to this new mindset. Like, what are the components somebody would need to like list out, right? The Virgo in me is like, I need a list.
Yeah.
But like that one would need to like look at of they're like, okay, this is the old belief. And like, now these are the components that I need for like my new mindset moving forward.
I love this. And I have steps for you exactly like you're listing. So this I talk about a lot in my containers, like almost all the time. Like when someone's like, oh, this is going on, and I'm like, all right, here, you know the steps. I'm going to tell you the same steps that I told so-and-so last week, but here they are again. And so before we even get into the steps, like the awareness is key. And what you just said is like, you would already have the awareness of like, I don't like this. I don't like that, or I don't like this result, or I don't like the way I feel. So the awareness is always like the umbrella, like the first thing, the base of like, until you have the awareness that you actually aren't enjoying that story anymore, you want to change something, this isn't serving you, you don't like how you feel, and you have the awareness, then these steps can come into play. But
the awareness has to open the door.
Exactly. The awareness is key. And then I have four steps that I do constantly, no matter what situation it is, whether it's with my dog, my partner, my dream, my goal, my car, like what being in traffic, like literally whatever it is, I do these four steps. The first one is I ask myself, what am I making this mean? Because it's never the thing. The thing is never the problem. Like for example, in the way you were describing it, of like, I have this belief and I want this new one. Like, it's not about the dream, like the belief itself or whatever. Like, the thing is not the problem. It's the way you feel about the thing. That's the problem. So that's why I always say, what am I making this mean? So a very like neutral, like the easiest thing that I'm just thinking of right now. I'm sitting in my car and I'm in traffic and I'm going to be late and now I'm getting angry. And I know this isn't goal related, but it's just coming up. So I'm angry, I'm mad, I don't want to be late, whatever. And then I ask myself, what am I making this mean? Because the traffic is just traffic. I've assigned the meaning to the traffic that it is negative and it is now impacting me negative. That is just a choice. So what am I making this mean? I'm making this mean I'm going to be late, my day's going to suck, everything else after this is going to be ruined. So I get clear on what am I making it mean. Then I ask myself, is that the ultimate truth? Is that genuinely the only truth that God himself has declared for my life? And the reason why I word it like that is because even in saying that, even if you are so mad, there's a part of you that's going to be like, no, like that's not the ultimate truth. Like that's not my destiny. Like no one's decided that for me. Like that's not the ultimate truth, only option in the world. So acknowledging that story is not true, real, and facts. So then the third step is, what is the new belief? What is the new truth? If that's not the truth, if that story that I'm telling, if that belief that I had isn't the ultimate truth, what is my new truth for this situation? So for that random analogy, I get to listen to an audio, which means my energy is going to be sky high. So when I get to work or when I get to this place, I'm going to deliver my speech in such a better energy. This is actually working for me. I'm actually grateful. I'm going to let someone know I'm going to be 10 minutes late. All is going to be good. My energy is going to be fabulous. You make the new story.
Yeah.
And then the fourth step, and this is the last step, is take an action step that backs that new truth. So for that analogy, it would mean my action step would be, if that is my new truth and I genuinely believe that new truth, my action step is put on an audio and sit and relax because there is no problem here. So those are Beautiful. My four steps. And to like,
amazing.
Yeah.
You just changed all of our lives, you guys.
To do a little quick recap, it's one, what am I making it mean? Two, is this the ultimate truth? Three, what is the new truth? Four, if you believe that new truth, what's the action step to now start walking with that belief of like, yep, it's fine. All is good in the world. So I'm going to do this now.
And it gets to be so simple, right? You can use that for the most, like you used it in this, the most simple, mundane thing that we all deal with. And that can be also, you can use it for the most complex problem that you have about anything and break it down to being so simple and then just moving and taking the action from there. Like I love how simple it can really be because our minds can be so complex. Like we tend to make everything complex because we have these huge brains, right?
Totally. My gosh. Yeah. We love that.
Do you feel that mind follows body or body follows mind?
Never thought about this. Okay. Mind follows body. Oh gosh. I'm stumped on this one. This is kind of like the chicken before the egg conversation for me now.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, as a mindset coach, I just wanted to throw that at you, right? Because like I have my opinions, but I was just like, no opinion gets to be set in stone. So it's like, what is your experience in your body and your mind as you're like working deeply with your mind, right? And seeing how changing your mind can change your life. What if like, what, like, I guess, where does listening to the body come into your mindset work? Because you said we talked about earlier, right? Like how going into this mindset journey for yourself sort of opened that door into like you reconnecting with your body.
Yeah.
So now you're able to give yourself the space to feel what you're feeling, listen to your emotions, like attune to your energy and see what's going on. Do you feel like those emotions and that kind of stuff that you are now more aware of that's happening in your body? Can you like track that to being like, oh, because my mindset's off, I'm like feeling this shit in my body. And so I need to go take a moment and feel the shit in my body so that my mind can change. Or yes. The other way around, right?
Yes. I think, oh man, which one comes first? I'm not exactly sure.
It's an interrelationship, but like in your experience.
In my experience, I think I am so aware of what I'm saying. Like I'm very conscious of my words. This is also like, you know, manifest 101, like watch what you're saying, like watch your words. So I am definitely all up on that train of like, what am I saying? What am I saying? So when I catch myself going into a spiral or saying a sentence, that to me gets my attention more than my body. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just because of my journey and where I'm at with my body. And I can pick up on that signal quicker than I would be able to pick up on a physical signal. So for me, I would have to say the way I operate, the mind goes and then my body gets overwhelmed. Then my body goes into the stuff. And then I also, the way I calm myself is through my mind, like change my words, change my thoughts. And then that puts my body into a calmer state. But now that you're saying this, I think it's like, it's so interesting because I know you're probably the exact opposite. So it's like... how you connect with yourself. And I think this is the beautiful thing of self-development and just this work is there is no right or wrong and everyone connects through a completely unique channel.
Absolutely. And I think it's an interrelationship and everybody gets to have a different experience, right? It's neither one I don't feel is like the right or there's no like right or correct way. It's really being able to listen to both. Like, are you being aware of and like watching your mind and listening to your body? It's both and, right? It's not like, oh, I'm doing this one and so then the other one's like gonna just follow it and I don't have to pay attention to it. Like if we're not adhering to both and giving both the attention that they need, one sort of starts running the show out of alignment, right? Like if we're not doing the mindset stuff to keep our minds in line because the mind is a wild monkey, it can like run around and then you bring it like in the body can, and the body does the same, right? If you're not giving your body attention, it's like, I'm going to have disease now.
Totally. And I will say like the biggest shift in my journey was when I stopped looking at my external reality and started to start changing within. And that the first investment I ever made was with, it was a money course. Like it was a wealth consciousness course, but the mentor I invested in at the time was like very spiritual woman. And that was like the complete opposite of everything I was back then. So I did get in like introduced to this work through meditation. What am I feeling? And that I think, yeah, I'm just having like a little light bulb moment of my own over here being like, yeah, this was like a huge part of the change of actually like opening the door and being like, hey, this is important. Like this has so much wisdom. And when I do get into an overwhelmed state or I'm angry or whatever, it is very loud in my body too. Mm-hmm. Like it's loud. You feel it. It's there. This is fascinating. Fascinating. I love it.
Love it.
Love it.
I love it. So if we're talking about like liberation and liberating yourself through using your mindset, how like, do you feel like there's an interrelationship there as well? Or like a way that they work together? Like, do you feel personally liberated through changing your mind?
Yes. I feel like since I started to do this work, I realized I'm in control of everything. And by in control, that's probably not the right word. I have the power to decide what today's going to do, today's going to be like, how I want to feel, what I want to do, what dream I want to bring to life, what action I want to take to bring that to life. And I think up until I started diving into this work so deeply, I was such a stickler for the external reality is happening to me sometimes. Like, even though I think on a fundamental level, I was like, I know that's not true, but I didn't know how to actually change that or how to feel about that in the moment of like something uncomfortable, something challenging, to then be like, no, I get to, even though it's hard, even though like getting to where I am today, like my bank account did not reflect that I could become who I was today, who I am today. Like, it didn't reflect that I could in 2 years become a multi six figure business owner. Like, that just wasn't the reality back then. And the liberation for me was realizing I have the power to look at my life and be like, this is what it is. And I get to do whatever I want. And what do I feel like? And I have the power to make that happen. And I don't fully think I comprehended how much power we had. So that was how I feel like I liberated through mindset. Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful. And I mean, we have all of the power to create our reality. Like, you know, all of the spiritual teachers have been teaching this for years and years and years, and we're all kind of starting to wake up to it now. Like, as we're all waking up and we're all shifting and that frequency is shifting, we're really starting to realize like how quick energy is moving, like how fast things are manifesting just from like your thought, and especially what you think repeatedly. But I also wanted to just like take it back here to the beginning of you answering that question and just make a note for our listeners here on the shift that you made when you started answering that, between versus saying I have the control versus I have the power, because this alone is like a huge mindset thing, right? Because when we're trying to control everything, our mind has actually gotten away from us, because the mind does seek to be right. It seeks to have control. It wants to have everything in order and like in its own structured sort of like way that it wants things to be, so that it knows and so that it feels comfortable. And there's a massive difference when we're talking about mindset or embodiment or like any personal development between this need for control and actually just the realization of like, I have the power to change it and not necessarily control it, right? Like I feel like there's a stark difference there that we can sometimes get lost in, because just because we're not in control of it and things are happening that we don't necessarily like, the power comes in, how am I going to perceive it, right? How am I going to think about it? How am I going to let it affect me? How am I going to respond to it?
1,000%. And that was like a huge realization for me when I started doing this work, was it's not about the control. Like, the control is an illusion. Like, that's like just still operating in an old way of thinking. It's like trying to manufacture your life so you can be comfortable, and like, even that will only limit what you can manifest. That will only limit the level of beauty you can experience when you're still, you may be thinking, feeling positive thoughts, but if you've got that energy of, but I need to control it, you're capping your manifestation. You're capping your experience on this earth. Like, you can only feel so much when you're trying to control it. So yeah, that was a beautiful piece. And yeah, it was a big shift for me too.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful because, I mean, yeah, control in and of itself is limiting us because we're allowing it to. And it actually keeps us small. Keeps us playing way smaller than the limitless realm of possibility that is out there for us.
Totally. Love it. I couldn't agree more.
All right. So I have just one last question for you today. And that is, what are you striving to embody on your personal journey next? As you're on the Embodied Liberation Lounge, what is your next level of what you're embodying?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. I am definitely embodying the energy and feeling into the energy of it is done, it is done, it is done, it is done. And I know we can talk about that through so many different lenses, but with the goals that I have, and also just like the way that I am and the way that I like to move, of being like, I am very goal driven, and my tendency is to get very in the masculine, which puts me sometimes in an overdrive, which I know a lot of people feel, of then I feel like I have the responsibility to bring the dream to life. Like, and instead of it being a co-creation, instead of letting myself receive, like, that is my toxic trait. So something that I've been embodying from experiencing this magic is playing in the energy of, if what I want is already done, what would I do right now? Would I be worrying about it? Would I be panicking about this person or this thing or this, or whatever it is? Would I have these worries? Would I have these fears? No, I wouldn't. So if that's the case, feeling that now and letting, and this is also my way of calibrating to become that version of me living that goal. So it like works in two ways for me in my head of like, it's A, helping me anchor into the energy that I want to be and how I want to live because it is done. And then C, or B, it's helping me calibrate. It's helping me become that version of me. So in my head, it's a win-win, but that is something that I'm definitely working on, the energetic piece of like waking up, feeling that, starting my day from everything I already want's already here. Like it's here, it's done. There's no need to worry.
Beautiful, potent, powerful, next level of embodiment. And like, that's the work, right? Like at every level, that's the work. It's like, if it were here now, how would I be feeling? What would I be doing? Like, this is the manifestation work. This is the mindset work. This is the embodiment work. Like, really, it's the key to all of it is like, can you just feel and breathe in, breathe life into what I want is here now? Like, I love this. And I might even just like go try that on for myself.
Yeah, do it, do it.
So Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today in the Embodied Liberation Lounge. And please tell my audience, tell our listeners where they can find you, how they can reach out to you, what you've got going on right now, if you've got any offers you'd like to make an offer.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Love the lounge. Such a vibey lounge. I hang out the most on Instagram. My handle is at the Tanya Jane. And right now I actually have a few free masterclasses that you can literally download right now, start diving into the mindset, the energetics to bring your biggest dreams to life. And if you want the links for those, you can just send me a DM and I'll give you those links and you can start diving into some fun mindset hacks, manifestation tips to help you just create some magic in your life.
Yes. And they're amazing. I recommend checking them out. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Romantic and rebellious ones, thank you for sipping from the provocative cup inside the Embodied Liberation Lounge. This is Lola Darling. You can connect with me over on Instagram at @thelolaDarling_. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it and don't forget to subscribe so that you always have a first-class seat in the Embodied Liberation Lounge. Stay untamed, fancy, and free. But before you go, remember this. The world yearns for you in your power, turned on and dripping wet in your fully expressed truth and liberated soul. Trust yourself, let the body be your guide, and allow the mystery to unfold. Until our next dance with decadence and debauchery of all our untamed spaces and faces, keep dreaming provocatively, dreamers.